And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, today, we review one of Jesus' greatest stories. It has held our hearts tight and brought grace and mercy at the most unique times in our life. It reminds us that the Lord loves us and continually looks for us to come to Him. In the story, there are many details, and in the church, there are many interpretations. That's not that much of a problem. In truth, that's kind of part of the fun. Not defending your own insights, but being open to hearing the same story and how it impacts other brothers and sisters in a different way. It's kind of cool. That's something we should be rejoicing in, not fighting over. Next, the prodigal son. The word prodigal means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully, and in extravagance. The story, known as a parable, and by the way, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson, is taught by Jesus for the purpose of communicating essential kingdom truths. What's most amazing is which characters people tend to focus on. No, wait, that's like, wait. I don't know what you focus on. It just amazes me. And then this parable has a beginning, a middle, and the end. While it's easy to get caught up in the details, the central teaching from Jesus is about the conclusion. How apropos for our own application that we should be laser focused on the conclusion, just like the scriptures teach us on a day-by-day basis. How this whole thing ends is what God wants us to see. That is His desire, that we see with the end in mind. Always.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and way. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That is 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
All right, talking to Dynamite D is like talking to the person that would give you a ride to the airport.
Oh, what a blessing.
That is bravery. That's all I'm going to say. Anybody willing to take you to the airport? That's 1,000%. The guy you're talking to when you call in, same guy. Get that? That's cool. Here is the bottom line. Maybe you've got a praise report. You want something's going on in your life. The Lord's done it. You know it, and you know you need to share it. We want to give you that opportunity to do that. You can do that in other places, and we encourage you to. You also have that opportunity to do it here and share those praises with other people. They can be blessed because they get to hear the things that God is doing. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Something's going on. I need prayer. I need it. Got this going on. It's really hard. I need other people's faith to combine with my faith and bring it before the Lord. Awesome. Let's do that. Maybe you've got something you just want to share. We're not really in the kvetch mode. I've mentioned to Don John the other day. We had a wonderful meeting, and I said, yeah. I said, I encourage people to kvetch elsewhere. I said, in our little world, we're just trying to encourage you in the middle of the day because there's enough stuff going on where we need to be encouraged in the middle of the day. Pretty straightforward there. And then we also do trivia. Oh, maybe you can do something here on trivia. Here's your trivia question. Prior to the flood, God saw the wickedness of man. It was great. Every imagination in their thoughts and their heart was only evil. The Lord was even sorry he made man. But one person found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Who was that person? There you go. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Time for our DNA, because we didn't do that in the last segment. D, so DNA are building blocks. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
I love that line. Every day that you breathe. That's pretty straightforward. Right? Okay. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26 says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. Not only is that going on, but just in case you are unaware, in a very close country to ours, an individual called pride a sin, a preacher, and he's being ticketed for calling pride a sin. It's just like, okay. I don't even know what to say about
that. I thought
you
was about to say a politician, but I guess my mind went too far.
And what's weird about it is we know pride is a sin, and he's gonna have to pay a fine because he said pride is a sin. It's like they're defending the devil. It's so weird. It's like, wow, it's getting nutty. So never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say, no matter what the cost. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter. You do. If you really love your neighbor, you don't want your neighbor to go to hell, do you? Right there. So that's what motivates you to not just pray for your neighbor, but encourage and talk to your neighbor as well as family and everybody else. It's part of it. You don't have to talk being a meanie. That's part of the problem is some of the way people communicate, they're afraid, and then they just blurt it out. Blah. You ask for the wisdom that the Lord will give you, and he'll grant it to you, because anybody who asks for wisdom receives it from the Lord. And in the meantime, just be a vessel ready to share with other people. And, oh, by the way, when we talk about other people matter, care about them. I know this is crazy, but actually care. Actually, take some of the care you have for you and take, if you've got 100 pieces of care for you, take 3 pieces, 4, 5 pieces of care and just put it on somebody else and care for them. Okay? All right. Trivia question is, prior to the flood, God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every imagination was only evil. In fact, he was sorry that he ever made the earth. However, one man found grace in his eyes. Who was that guy? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I hope you guys are ready. Is that a nice way to say this?
That's pretty good warning.
This is entitled Come Home. I'm not reading that. I'm reading just this portion. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 is where we're going to start. So Luke 15:11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to feed in the fields to feed his pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but nobody gave him anything. Verse 17, when he came to his senses. All right, let's just stop right there for right now, okay? Just an amazing story. And what's amazing about this story, and I'll say this now, everybody, and I know but people who listen to this story, they always focus to certain characters. So right now we have a certain group of characters. We have the son, we have the father, we have two sons, and we have this guy that squanders is living, which means that he was out there partying, so there's people that are probably connected there, but then he hired himself to a citizen, and so as a citizen, the citizen's involved too, and so everybody's kind of involved in this little story Jesus is telling. Let's just talk about this real quickly. There was a man who had two sons. Can I say something real quickly about this? I just want to, because it's really important, especially for parents or for brothers or sisters or anybody like that. Let me just say this real quickly, okay? There is not one kind of people, okay? Stop that. There is one kind of people. Everybody should be like me. No, everybody should be like Jesus. Nobody should be like you. And you think that's ridiculous. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't want a whole bunch of you. You want a whole bunch of Jesus. And so we need to understand there's a substantial difference between unity and conformity. Unity is not conformity. There can be a oneness without everything being the same. In fact, I will just point this out for most people who at least to some degree will acknowledge this, and that is an ice cream sundae usually has two scoops or three scoops of different ice cream. That's the whole point. And so it's like, yeah, just relax. It's still called a sundae. Enjoy it. So the idea is we got to stop doing that. So you have one son who's seeking independence. I'm sure nobody knows anybody in the world who seeks independence, children, parents, or otherwise. Okay. Right? Seeking independence. Right? Then you have this, which I think is the harder of all of this, and that is you had an accommodating father. Now, how accommodating? Pretty accommodating. I mean, here's the thing he did that I don't do well. A lot of dads and moms do better than me in this, but, you know, in some ways I do really good, in some ways I don't. But this is a parent who knew when to let go. Uh-oh. Let go? I'm the parent. Okay, first of all, just from a practical Christian point of view, God is the parent. You are a vessel that God has used. That's number one. So you are second parent. That's number one. Number two, wisdom by God says, you know what? There's a time where you go, okie dokie. You think, how can that be? God let Adam and Eve move forward in their choice. Do you think God knew that what they were going to do? Do you think God could have stopped them? Do you think God could have prevented that? Oh, but that's not free will. You're not listening to the question. Did God know? And in knowing, since he's omniscient, did he let them choose? But it was going to be a big mistake. But he let them choose. Oh, he's going to cover them. That was always part of it. But he let them choose. Wow. That's just hard right there. Like, oh, my kids make choices. I'm like, oh, right? How do you think God feels with us? Just prior to the flood, God saw the wickedness of man was great. And the earth, every imagination and thought was evil. In fact, the Lord was sorry he ever made man. But one person found grace in his eyes. Who was that?
Noah.
That's right. Noah was the one that we're talking about. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37. The disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits that you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. You know, I should probably practice a little bit. And KSDS, but we'll just see how that goes. I'll see how that's going on. I got to figure that out. We'll see how that
interesting
goes.
Yeah.
There's a hint for the audience. We'll just see. Here's your next trivia question. To whom, actually, that's really the proper way to say that, to whom, did the Lord say, get out of your country and from your kindred, and from your family's house, unto this land that I will show you and make of you a great nation? Who is he talking about? Who did he say that to? Well, there you go. That's kind of an easy way to say that. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I do have four one-liners and one long joke, okay? All right. Somebody is calling in. They're going to have to sit through the jokes. Now, I want to make sure from D that they can hear the jokes. Can they hear the jokes while I'm doing them? All right, they're going to have to sit through the jokes. I'm just sorry. That's how it's got to go, because one of these jokes is hilarious, and I just can't miss it. So here's four one-liners. You ready? Okay, here we go. This is the worst one. How do you find a spider on the internet? You check out his website.
Oh, no, you didn't.
That's a pretty good one right there. That's not bad. But listen to this one. Where do fish like to go on vacation? Finland.
Say what?
Okay. These two are great. Did you hear about the duck that was flying upside down? It quacked up.
No, that's not going to do it.
No, that's a great one. And then here's my favorite. What do you call a penguin in the desert? Lost.
What in the wide, wide world of
sports is going on here? Those are great ones. All right, send the person through. Go ahead, send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi,
David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I'm sorry I made you listen to the jokes, but...
Oh, that's okay. They were funny.
Yeah, that's part of the pain, right? All right, here we go. Who to who said, "Get thee out of the country, from your kindred, your family's house, into the land that I will show you, make a great nation of you." Who did the Lord say that to?
Abraham.
That is correct, Amundo! And now here's the key. He actually said it to Abram, because when he first said it, it was in the beginning, and then his name changed to Abraham. So that's a good one to remember, too. But excellent job, right on target, right? Excellent work. Always fantastic when you call.
David, I was wondering if you could do me a favor and pray for Susie.
Yeah, sure. What's going on?
She really needs someone to... help her, and I'm hoping God will send someone to help her.
Let's pray. Let's do it right now. Let's do it together.
Thank you.
Father, we come before you right now. We thank you and praise you for everything. You're fantastic. You're awesome to us, and we love you. We just are so appreciative of your graces and your mercies. We lift up Susie to you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would send her somebody that can help her, that can lift her up from the depths of despair and discouragement. Lord, instead of the dark clouds, that the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow and move those clouds out, and there would be a light, and that light would revive her and strengthen her and pull her up. Now, Lord, if you send an angel from heaven, that's great. But if you can send her a person that can become a part of her, that can help her on a regular basis, that's great too. We ask you just to move upon her in the power of your Spirit to lift her up from the darkness and pour light and love into her heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. I appreciate that.
You got it. You got it. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. There's a lot of things you can say, but you could be praying for Susie. So that's something you do. So you hear that now. She's now, everybody's heard that. God has brought her into your life. See how that works? That's the whole thing about the Good Samaritan. God has brought Susie into your life. Pray for her. Okay? Just 5 hours. Just pray for her. Okay? All right. All right, let's go back to the text and back to this, because this is just, you know, lights out, you know. And I did give the wrong station. I didn't give the full station thing. So I know people are trying to figure out where this is. Like, I can't do it yet.
Interesting.
I can just say, you know, things are looking sunny. Anyway, so here we go. So let's go back to the text. Verse 13, we'll pick it up from there. Not long after. So this is after he goes, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the father divided the property between them. Verse 13, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." So wild living is not wild living by himself. Now you think, well, how do you know that? Oh, come on. I mean, this is a story. You know what's going on. He's out there partying like crazy. That's not hard to figure out, right? That's what it's telling you. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. I want you to pick this up. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, and who sent him into the field to feed his pigs. Remember, for Jewish people, pigs, disgusting. How he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. Couple things to tell you right off the bat. Not long after, he took everything he had and he booked. He hit it. He hit the road. And you think, is that weird? Nope. He went to a distant land. That's what people do when they want to get away. They want to get away. They go to a distant land. Nobody knows them. And they take off the restraints and they go nutty. That happens. It's not bizarre. It happens all the time. All the time. And the question is, why do we run? Well, for me, I run personally because of some of my disappointments and my own insecurities, okay? That's the best I can figure out. But there's various reasons, and there's multiple people who have run. Let's just look at, I'm just going to read you this psalm and just think about what the psalmist is saying, what David's saying here. He says, "I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert." That is the same thing. There's no difference. Dave's like going, "I wish I had wings like a dove. I'd hit the road. I'd be like in the desert. Nobody find me." Right? That's what happens. People run. Here's the problem. The problem is, the truth is, running can seem like a lot of fun. In fact, probably starts off as fun. It probably starts off like everything's going great, just like when Jonah ran and he found a ship going in the direction he was trying to get to, right? Until God called him on the carpet, right? Running can be fun, but it's seasonal. Did you hear what I just said? It's seasonal. In other words, you can run, but you can't keep running. That's the thing people miss. You can run. I'm not telling you can't run. People run all the time. You just can't keep running because you can't outrun God. So it's like, you're just like, yes, but in this one area, I'm doing really good. No, you're not. You just think you are. That's what's humorous about it. So then he's in verse 40. He goes, spends everything he has. Right? Severe famine in the whole country, and he begins to be in need. So this is where prodigal comes in. Wasteful, futile. It's to no end, to no purpose. It will accomplish nothing. And now it goes from fun to he's in deep need. In verse 15, you know, he goes, hires himself out to a citizen of that country who sends him to feed the pigs. He longs to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gives him anything. Verse 17, when he comes to his senses. How long can you and I go before we come to our senses? And going back to Jonah, which you gotta, you know, gotta appreciate, the Lord put it in there for a reason, and it's a very real story, which is why Jesus referred to it regarding his death, so that's very real. Jonah books. He hits the road. Everything's going great, right? Then the giant fish starts to swallow him. But as we've talked about before, he doesn't pray right away. He prays after a little while. After he comes to his senses going, hey, this is not working out. After the seaweed is wrapped around his head and he's inside the fish, it's like, uh-oh. And that's the big thing that we all come to is the big uh-oh. How long can we go before we go, I'm coming to my senses, this is so dumb. And while I'm not saying that to degrade anybody, I include myself in it 100-fold. It's like I do the same kind of thing in different areas, in different ways. And I try to get away with it, just like a lot of people. Don't tell me you don't try. People try to get away with it. And then the Lord calls, comes a knocking. And then you do the same thing I do. You go, uh-oh. Like, uh-oh. And you know the Lord's like, yeah, yeah. I know you're trying to pull this off, but that's not going to work. And it's like, oh. So this next thing that we come back to is legend. Because this is what we do. It's so us. It's amazing. When we get back, we'll cover it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
If you're a small business owner with a website that is ugly, outdated, or just plain non-existent, you're probably missing out on a lot of business opportunities. Unfortunately, the web design industry is not a friendly place for busy small business owners. A typical web design agency charges roughly $90 per hour to build a simple business website, which means you'll spend thousands up front, even for a bare-bones site. But the do-it-yourself option is a road that often leads to headaches and hardships. Here at Cowpunch Sites, we've pioneered a fresh and affordable website subscription model. For just $57 per month, we'll design and build a custom professional website you'll love to show off. And on top of all that, we'll continue to manage your website, making all the updates and changes you'll need for as long as you're a subscriber. It's sort of like having an in-house web designer at a tiny fraction of the cost. Find out how we're different at cowpunchsites.com. Check out what Cowpunch Sites can do for you at cowpunchsites.com.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video. But you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. But it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Okay, here's your next trivia question. I will tell you, this is a little harder. You know, the one before the end is always a little harder. Okay, that's just kind of how I do it. I always make the fourth one the hardest one because we usually do five. Okay, now. Got to think about this. The answer is going to be in 2 Kings chapter 6, for those who are wondering. Elijah had gone with the sons of the prophets to make a housing place, a dwelling place in Jordan. And somebody borrowed an axe head, and it fell into the water. What did Elijah do to make it float? What did he throw in the water to make it float? Interesting. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website as we always do. And on the website, it's a couple things to remind you. One, please, on the website, check out all the different little, you know, like linky things. Linky things. I don't know what that means. It means links, I guess, is the linky thing. Linky things. That's a new term. It's a new terminology for the internet. It's
add it to the thesaurus.
The linky things. Because there's all these different things on the site, and I want you to be able to check it out. Plus, giving is important. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That's a promise from Jesus. So that's kind of nice right there. So check that out on the website. Go to hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's how your car is driving.
Hey, I hope that's not me leaving the studio.
That's very, very funny. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Al. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. Al, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Not too bad for a hot day here in Texas.
It's a little warm. It's a little, you know, people are schwitzing, which means Yiddish for sweating. You know, it's like they're schwitzing all over the place. That's good.
All right, my brother. It's always good to hear from you, by the way. It was wonderful to see you and meet you in person. I'm going to set it up for you and give you all the opportunity for it. Elijah had gone with the sons of the prophets to make a dwelling place in the Jordan. He, while they were doing that, somebody who had an axe head, it fell into the water. What did Elijah do to get that axe head to float up?
Well, again, I'm going to do like Deborah, and I'm going to guess. And I'm thinking, did he put salt in the water?
That is for bitter water. That's no, but here, let me. Okay. I'm going to get you there because you and I, we always get there. Okay.
Yep.
When you draw single lines on a figure, we call that what kind
of? Okay.
That's it right there.
I would debate between that and a staff.
Yeah.
You know, between salt and a staff, and I'm like, no, I'm thinking too much about Moses.
It's a stick. Now, you have to love that because that's where the expression, well, why don't you throw a stick at it? That's where that comes from. It's like
really?
he throws a stick in and then the axe head floats up and you're like going, okay, I don't really get the correlation, but I'm just going to go with that's cool. Grab it.
Hey, can I ask your question?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'm reading through Samuel in my devotions, and I came across where Saul is getting an evil spirit from the Lord.
Yep.
What is that?
That is, get ready for it, ready? That's an evil spirit that has permission to attack him, that the Lord allows. Nobody can get attacked without God's permission. In the Old or New Testament. Okay. So we got to understand that when Job is attacked, permission is asked. When Peter is when Jesus is talking to Peter, he says Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. There is a petition on his end to be able to attack. So in Saul's case, because Saul had some pretty significant sin that would allow that, that spirit came from the Lord. We know what kind of music, you know, because that whole reference is David playing the harp to make that spirit go away. We know what kind of music David played because we have about 135 out of 150 are his psalms. And so we know what kind of music he wrote and what kind of music he lived in. And those worship music moments drove the spirit out. But God allowed the attack because of something going on in Saul's life. And that's how you understand it, as the Lord sent it, or you know, permitted it. It's not that God sent the demonic spirit itself, but allowed the permission to be accessed. That's what it means.
Okay.
Does that help?
That just jumped out at me this morning. You know, I've read it many times, and it just never had jumped out to me like that before. Like, the evil spirit from the Lord. I'm like, that just didn't make sense at the time. So
correct, right. So that's the permission-based attack, just like we got in Job and so on and so forth. And whatever Saul did, was doing, and there was multiple things already, but whatever that was, it could have been something we're not even sure of that actually gave the actual initial open door. But what we know is it was enough for the Lord to say, protection is off, do what you will.
Okay, very good. That's why you have a doctor's degree and I don't.
I still don't have any patience. It doesn't matter.
You got a lot of us on the radio here. We just don't. You just don't bill us.
Well, that would be fun. I got to start billing people. Yeah. I like that. Great job, my brother. Excellent work.
Y'all have a great day.
All right. God bless you, bro. Bye-bye. Love Al. Al's one of my fave people. Just love him.
Good question, too.
Yeah. That's a great question, right? And you got to understand, it's like, well, because there's what the Lord allows. So it's like, well, you know, God's not in hell going, okay, you go over there and attack him. You know, it's like they're all looking to it. If Satan had permission, right, he would, you know. And what is it that the Lord said about Job? He said, you can do whatever you want. You can't kill him. I mean, there's a limitation, right? It's like, wow. Spirit power. All right. Now let's go back. We'll do our history later. I don't want to miss this little part here. This is great. This part of the teaching, you got to get this because this is you and me. You want to talk about you and me? You might be not even thinking this is you and me. It is you and me, but this part is really you and me. Okay? All right. So verse 18, right? All right. Here's what he says. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Here's new characters being brought in. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. No, wait, we're not done, because I want you to catch this. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Now you're sitting there and you're thinking, whoa, just slow down. I want you to catch this. In verse 18 and 19, this is how this is you and I. It's the rehearsal. You think, what do you mean it's the rehearsal? This is what it does. I will set out and go back to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he's got a script. You understand that, right? It's a script. There's no weirdness there. It's like he comes up with a plan. It's like, okay, here's my plan. I'm going to go do this, right? And so this is the problem with you and I in this verse 18 and 19. This is our perspective of what is required when we come back to God in something, or in totality, or in an issue, in its completeness, or in something specific. This right here is what we do. We rehearse it. I got lines. I know what I'm going to do. Let me tell you how deep this goes. Look at verse 20. He gets up, goes to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him, filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Look at verse 21. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So the son, right, goes into the routine not even getting that he doesn't need to do that. this is what's unbelievable. You got to really catch this. So the father, verse 20, is looking for him. Look what it says in the text, not very hard. It says, he's still a long way off, which kind of implies distance. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a genius, but I think I can figure that out. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. So the father sees him. There's compassion for him. What does the father do? He runs to his son. Throws his arms around him. Big, big hug. Kisses him. Love you, love you, love you, love you. This is the picture of God. You get that, right? I'm just laying it out, trying not to go anywhere else on this. This is the picture of God looking for us, compassion towards us when he sees us, runs to us, hugs us, kisses us. Verse 21, this is the picture of us. The son doesn't get it. He goes into his rehearsed speech. Like us, he's unable to see and receive the Father's love because I still have to go through this speech. So just so you can enjoy this the most, I've got to go through my speech, even though you have put your arms around me and you are kissing me and you are hugging me and you are so happy to see me and you're just like, joyous and, oh, you're compassionate for me. But wait, Father, for I must go through my speech. See why the prodigal son is still all of us. I know you know this is true. As many of you look up there going, uh-oh.
That is us to a T.
To a T. And then God's like, I love you. I love you. I'm with you. Stop trying to. And then we're like, wait, I can juggle. God's like, what are you doing? Okay. You get it? Okay. Take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I cannot wait, though. I have to do this particular sound. We might interrupt while I'm doing the teaching, but I got to do the sound because it is time
for Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out of your head, Annie.
I can't believe I'm allowed to do that. I love that. Anyhow, Bible Baloney Beatdown has to do with the kingdom of God. So there are people that go, well, you know, in Scripture, there's so many contradictions. Like, what about when Jesus said, if you're for me, then you're not against me. If you're against me, you're not for me. And they kind of mix it all up and so on and so forth. Let me just help out and just kind of set the record straight, keeping it simple. There are two. Now, watch what I'm going to show you. There are two. Okay. Watch. Somewhere between one and three. There are two. Okay, here you go. One more time. There are two kingdoms. I'm gonna blow your mind when I say this. There is the kingdom of God. Right? Everybody would agree. Okay, got it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And then there is any other attempted kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's any other attempted kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of men, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's the kingdom of God and all the other ones, okay? And they're all just wrapped up into one thing. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdoms that are not the kingdom of God. That's all we got. That's all it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 50, John responded, Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Because he does not follow us. Verse 50, don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. Keeping this in context, the person is not opposed, this is very important, the person is not opposed, but for the kingdom of God. He's not neutral. He's a kingdom advancer. He's somebody that's advancing the kingdom, casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John is like, well, he's not one of us. Okay, that's a whole separate sermon, a whole separate issue, which I'm sure your pastor has taught on many times. And that is the last thing that you need are a whole bunch of more people just like you or just like me. We need people to be like Jesus. And they don't need to follow us exactly. They need to follow Jesus. And I don't want to reproduce 1,000 me's. I want people reproducing being Jesus. Because I'm not going to do anything, but people who are more like Jesus, they make a difference. And in context, this person was advancing the kingdom by driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a kingdom advancer.
The David Spoon Experience.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We're going to do our next trivia question. We do got to be speedy about things because I got a lot of stuff going on. King Hezekiah was on his deathbed, and Isaiah the prophet told him, set your house in order, you're going to die. Hezekiah wept and, you know, whined and whatever else, but God extended his life. By how many years did God extend Hezekiah's life? That is the question, which, by the way, regardless of what your answer is, did not work out brilliantly for Hezekiah. Which should tell you, I'm going to make sure you get my inference there. The Lord doth know better. Just saying. Okay, so we do have somebody who's going to answer the trivia question. Let's have them do that. Let's do the history, and then we'll close on the message. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a Star Wars fan.
What's going on, Samson? How are you?
Hey, good. Very good. All right. So the answer is, I believe, 15 years.
That is correct, Amanda! So 15 years extra. Okay, I just heard that the app stopped. So, Lord, bring back our app. Anyway, 15 years extra, which turned out for Hezekiah not to be good. I mean, that turned out to be a bad thing for him, right?
Yes.
That was bad. How are you doing? Are you hanging in there with your friends? Went through their stuff? Because we've been praying for them.
Yeah, we are praying. Yeah, I know. It's kind of a little difficult for for the families. I mean, we are just giving them their space because their family came from Minnesota. And also his wife is from Africa, from Cameroon. So his mother-in-law is planning to come. So we are just giving them space, and hopefully we'll come, go and see them again.
Yeah. Well, we need everybody to be praying. I mean, there's no way around that. And everybody should be praying for comfort and for grace to fill this family. And for Samson, our buddy, because that's a tough burden to carry. But the Lord did put it on your heart, and that's what's important. He trusts you with that ministry. So that's a big part of this.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
So I mean, you are such a light and encourager to me, and I believe for everybody, those who are listening to you.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. You know I do. And you just remember, God has confidence in you, and you will fulfill that which he has put before you.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
I need that.
Yeah. I pray for you today. You know I pray for you all the time. So
I know
you,
that.
You shall prevail.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, bro. All right. God bless you.
God bless and shalom. Is that a day of atonement today?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Day of atonement.
You know what? I didn't even check. I hope not, because I didn't check, but I stand pretty firm in my Day of Atonement every day, 24/7, 365.
I think for all of us.
All right, my bro. God bless, brother. All right.
Thank you, brother. God bless and shalom.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to real quickly do our history. So let's get that done. All right, today is National Raspberry Cake Day. If it has the word cake in it, I like it.
Me too. I'll take
it. This is a cake? Really?
Pretty simple.
Right. That's not hard. National Get Out of the Doghouse Day. So I got to say this. This is hilarious because I am mostly in the doghouse with my wife. I mean, I'm just being honest, like of most of the things, about 98%. But I get out pretty fast because she gets in the doghouse every once in a while, and I get her out. So yeah, she's not
so
perfect.
We got two doghouses.
She has her moments. So she has her moments. But
you just hear about the man being in the doghouse.
No. I told her the other day. I said, "Hey, you didn't do this." She goes, "Oh yeah, I forgot." I'm like, "Hello." You know, it's like the same thing, right? You get to do that too. Last thing I'm going to tell you, let's see. 1961, on this day, the first regularly scheduled in-flight movie by TWA begins showing in-flight movies.
When was that?
1961.
Wow.
On this day of July 19th. Isn't that amazing? I just find that to be amazing. Okay, that's enough of that. We got to finish the scripture. Okay, so back to the text. So I want to go back to this section. So the Father has already demonstrated, the Son has already demonstrated that he's not getting it, which of course is all of us. And then in verse 22, we pick it back up. But the Father says to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so they began to celebrate. So what I want you to get, or what I want you to figure out, is people have spent a lot of time teaching on what the ring is and what the sandals are and the robe and so on. And some people say the ring has a secret message. And that, I don't. Here's what I figured out, okay? Okay, because any of that could be true, but this is where you get a little deeper. It's like, it's a parable. I mean, he's telling the story. What's the point of the story? Well, a robe, a ring, and sandals are all symbols of a noble child and of royalty, and when those are put on you, they're demonstrating that you're part of the family, part of the royal family, sort of, you're part of the family that's right there, the specific prime family that's going on. And what had happened is he didn't have a robe, he didn't have a ring, he didn't have a sandals, he most likely used to, but remember, he packed everything, sold it, or he packed everything, went crazy wild living, emptied himself out, completely empty, had to be restored. What these are, more than anything else, are symbols of restoration. The robe, the ring, the sandals, this God restoring. It's like, here, you got to have these sandals.
here. I mean, it doesn't say they brought old stuff. This is that's at least not that I can figure it. But it says, in fact, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. We got to restore this kid. He was hurt. He found his way back. Let's get him where he needs to be. That's what God does for you and I. Verse 23, bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. The fatted calf is the most expensive piece on the entire, the fatted calf is the most expensive one. Kill it. Why? Because we're going to celebrate. PETA might not like it, but nobody really cares that much about PETA anymore. The bottom line is simply this. Celebrate. Celebrate. Verse 23, let's have a feast. Celebrate. Why are we feasting? Why are we celebrating? Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Twice God uses the word celebrate in this teaching for us. So what's really going on here? When you come back to the Lord, not only does he restore you, but there's a festival. Watch this. This will just freak you out. There is a festival in the heart and mind of God for his kids. There's a fest. God's having a fest. What? He's like, he's the, Jesus teaches the story. What's the end of the story? Celebrate good times. Come on. And that's what's going on, no matter what you say. The bottom line is the reality and the power of the restoration is not you just get back to even when you confess your sins to the Lord and come back. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins. Right? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't just get back to even, you are fully restored. You're not just getting back in. Whoo, better not do that again. You are fully restored. That's why you get the robe, the ring, and the sandals. And you think, well, I think I've had a lot of robe and ring and sandals, and you'll probably have a few more between now and the time you hear the trumpet. But that's the festival heart of God for you. He loves you. Get it? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, 22 and a half hours, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.